It's time. Time for stimulating talk. Time for thought-provoking conversation. Time for the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600. Turn on your brain and get the real scoop on today's topics and events. Here is Lisa Wexler.
Good news is the highways are empty. Metro North is virtually empty. I'm going to push everything I can on a voluntary basis before I try and do anything on a mandatory basis.
That was Governor Lamont yesterday in his daily 4 o'clock approximately news conference as the spread of the coronavirus hitting us here in Fairfield County with the first deaths noticed in various townships, including my own probate district of Weston yesterday, getting people very sad. And it's not going to be the first, unfortunately. It's not going to be the last, I mean. But it looks like in Connecticut we're getting an A. We understand we're getting the message for social distancing quite well here. And I think that Governor Lamont is keeping a firm but not nasty kind of hand on the rudder. I think he is trusting us to be our better selves while putting in structure for us to social distance, which is the responsible thing to do. We're going to have a great show for you today. Senator Richard Blumenthal is coming to us hot off of the presses, so to speak, hot off of the Senate floor, where he's going to explain to us the nuts and bolts of the historic Senate deal that was reached last night. Plus, unemployment attorney Mark Carey will join us because you may have a lot of questions about benefits and filing and what to do. So I thought it would be good to have a special lawyer on to answer your questions. And also Jim Marpy, Westport's first selectman, will join us today. As Westport continues to be the source of so much furor and so many different articles being published, even around the country, I saw that Westport was featured in Town and Country magazine, of all things. Joining us right now, our own Senator Richard Blumenthal. Senator Blumenthal, thank you so much for making time to come on today. Hi.
Always wonderful to be with you. Thanks for having me, Lisa.
So the marathon, first of all, I assume you're calling from Washington, D.C., right, Senator?
Actually, I'm in my car heading from Washington, D.C. up to Connecticut. We passed the bill last night, you know, around midnight, and we got out of the Capitol early in the morning, and I was up early to head back home.
You know, it's really interesting. You're like the swallows of Capistrano, you and Joe Biden. You've got your compass point. My husband's the same way. Wherever he was, wherever he is, after 9/11, he was in Tampa for business. He got on a train or a track. Or something. I mean, there are certain men and women, I guess, they just need to go home. You're one of those guys, Senator. You need to be home.
I go home whenever I can. I love being at home. I love Connecticut, and especially this time of year, it's just a magnificent place to be. You know, a lot of my friends tell me they're going to go away to some wonderful, exotic, beautiful place for spring break, not this year, of course, or over the summer. And I figure, what's more beautiful than Connecticut? I know it sounds a little parochial, but spending time in Washington, I love going home. It keeps me sane.
Keeps you sane. All right, so being sane in an insane world, can you tell us a little bit? We're getting the nuts and bolts of what you guys did last night. Just procedurally, this bill still needs to go to the House, correct?
It still needs to be approved by the House, and the smart betting is, based on what Nancy Pelosi has said, that they will do it on Friday. At least they'll try to do it, probably getting as many members back as they can, because all of their members left on their own recess. But I think that the chances of passage there are very, very good. Remember, it was approved last night unanimously, 96 to zero. And the absence of 100 was due to a number of colleagues being either infected or self-quarantining, which I think, and they happen to be Republicans, but the unanimity of that vote, I think, reflects a bipartisan feeling of urgency. This initiative is big and bold. It's imperfect, not a panacea, but we are hearing from people about the urgency of action. And frankly, Lisa, I have called heads of corporations, I've called heads of hospitals, but I've also conducted teleconferences with small businesses, domestic violence advocates, homeless shelters, all across the state. People are hurting. They are struggling to put food on the table, pay their mortgages. Small businesses are struggling to stay open, and a lot of them have closed. So there is a real need for action. Even though this measure may be imperfect, it is imperative, and it will be followed by others. This measure, although it's the third, first one was for $8.3 billion, the second was for $100 billion. This one is for $2 trillion.
Yeah, That's about the size of the whole federal budget. Beyond. So Senator Blumenthal, this is what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that up to a threshold of $99,000, which I assume is adjusted gross income, there are benefits available. The overwhelming majority of benefits will be available to households under $75,000. Is that right? Or is that an individual? Is that a household?
That is correct. Up to $75,000 in income. That is measurable.
Wait, we lost you. We lost you, Senator. Could you repeat that? We just lost you.
Anybody who made less than $75,000 in 2018, that's the relevant tax year, will automatically receive a check. Each person. So if a couple in a household would get $2,400, each child would add another $500, but then after $75,000, it diminishes gradually up to $99,000, and then there's nothing. So a lot of people will just automatically receive a check without even having to apply.
Oh, now, that's great. You know, that's amazing. Okay.
Well, it's amazing, but let's be very clear-eyed and realistic. $1,200 sounds like a lot of money. It is a lot of money. But for a month, it might be really helpful. It's not going to really provide any lasting, enduring benefit for
two or three months. But what I like about it, Senator Blumenthal, is I like the automatic nature of it. That's what I mean by amazing.
Right.
The amount is never going to be sufficient. No matter what it is, it's not going to be enough. But the idea that you don't have to have the bureaucratic exercise of having to go out and apply is, you know, I think a merit of it. And I guess the IRS already knows, because they have the tax returns, they already know these numbers,
right,
so they can just spit out the checks. So that's fast. I mean, it needs to be fast. That's the point. It needs to be fast.
And that's the objective. Yeah. That is exactly right, Lisa. You really hit on the key fact here. Money fast in the hands of families and workers and, frankly, small businesses. And fast is necessary. Small businesses hopefully will receive loans within 3-4 weeks. They have to go through the SBA. The loans are actually from banks, but they're guaranteed by the SBA. And if a small business maintains its payroll, in other words, if it pays people, if it keeps people employed, the loan will be forgiven. In other words, the loan turns into a grant, in effect. So this is an incentive for employing people, for paying them, even as a small business goes through the struggle of surviving these next few months. And then there's also unemployment compensation. Now, for that loan and for unemployment compensation, people have to apply, but
they do
it all the time. In fact, the number of people applying for unemployment compensation is 20 times the normal rate.
Did you see the number? Did you see it's 3.2 million?
But they get only a portion of their pay.
Yeah, did you see that? Senator Blumenthal, the New York Post just came out with the headline. Probably as you're driving, you haven't seen it. 3.2 million in the last week.
Just
to give you an idea, the last weekly number was back in 1982 at 691,000. We are in unforeseen, unprecedented territory in terms of the shockwave to the economy. The shockwave.
And we need unprecedented measures. And this unemployment compensation measure would give people, most people, or a lot of them, their full pay, which is not the case now, and it would extend it to 4 months. So it's an expansion and extension of unemployment insurance. But here's what my favorite part of the program is the Marshall Plan for medicine.
Tell me.
An investment in the ventilators, the masks, the protective gear that are necessary for the first, you know, the folks who are working on the front lines in the hospitals. They need this equipment, and the hospitals need money to continue operating. And we need a surge of medical investment, because we're going to see, as you know, in New York, which is the epicenter, a huge deluge of people, unfortunately, and they need medical care.
Senator Blumenthal, will you take a couple of calls? We have a couple of people
Sure.
who would really like to talk with you. Let's go first to Brian. Brian, I don't know the town. Brian, Bethel. Brian from Bethel, you're on the air with Senator Blumenthal. Please keep it quick. We have a bunch of people holding. Hi, Brian. Welcome.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Senator Blumenthal. So, Senator Blumenthal, for seniors who had a full income back in 2018 and now are retired and receiving half an income, is there any consideration for how to treat them differently? In regards to
that's a great question. That's a great question. I think that will be a matter of your, I'm not going to ask you the specifics of your, you know, what you made, but I think what you will have to do, have you filed your return for 2019?
Yes. And we've adjusted our income in 2020 on in regards to Medicare because of the significant life changing events.
I think
you're
going to
get half your income.
Yeah, that may they're using for most people 2018, but if you filed for 2019, and I think they will accommodate the change in your circumstance.
Okay, thank you.
And if you want to call my office, we may be able to help you through the details.
Thank you so much, Senator.
Thank you, Brian. Okay, we're going to take a couple more. Gloria from Westport. Gloria, please keep it short as well. You're on the air with Senator Richard Blumenthal.
Hello, Lisa. Hello, Senator Blumenthal.
Hi.
I don't have a question for you. I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank you for all you do, for all the hard work and many hours that you put in.
Thank you.
That's really what I wanted.
You're very kind.
Thank
that
you,
really
Gloria.
Means a lot. Thank you.
Thank
You're
you,
a true
Gloria.
Superman and a Gita Neshoma. Stay well, stay healthy, and thank you again.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, too.
Gloria.
Stay well.
Thank you. Let's go to Barbara from Shelton. Hi, Barbara. You're on the air with Senator Richard Blumenthal.
Good morning. Nice to talk to you. I think the gentleman ahead of me spoke in regards to somebody that's on Social Security. I'm 88, and I live alone, and my income is not that great. Will we be getting a check?
I think you will be, yeah, because you're not getting more than $75,000 a year, right?
No, I'm not. No way.
Okay. There you go. So you should be receiving a check.
All right. Thank you very much.
Sure.
So I think that's really important, Senator Blumenthal, that you clarified that it isn't just people who report working income. It's income from any source.
Exactly.
All right. That's very key for people. That's very, very important.
Now, the other point, Lisa, just to add, this is very important for people to understand. For the first time, unemployment compensation will cover people who are self-employed. It will cover contractors. It will cover people who work in the gig economy. It's not just for people who are on a payroll in a big corporation. It will cover all workers. And even if they're just furloughed, in other words, your employer says to you, you know, I'm going to have to let you go for a couple of months, and then we'll get you back. We're not firing you. We're not laying you off. We're just furloughing you. You're still eligible for unemployment compensation. That's a big change in the system.
That's a huge change. Now, that's distinct from the subsidy that the federal government is giving people. That's a different
that
thing.
That is point distinct.
That's distinct.
Exactly.
So, and when you talked about the full income, I had read that the federal layer of federal unemployment benefits was capped out at $600 a week. That's not true? I thought it was.
No, actually, you're right about the $600, but that is not the cap. In fact, that is the amount of increase.
Oh.
So let's say you're getting right now X amount on, or you're eligible right now because of your income at X amount per week. Well, this program adds another 600 to that amount. And that's why it brings a lot of people up to their full pay.
I see. Okay. So, and this is the first time that the federal government is supplementing unemployment benefits, because I'm told the unemployment benefits are allocated state by state and not with a federal overlay.
Correct.
Okay.
So in some states, in some states, the $600 will bring people up to actually more than their full pay.
Wow.
And we had one of the last points we had to resolve last night was an amendment that was offered by Republican senators, four of them, saying that $600 should be cut if it brought people up to an amount higher than their normal compensation, because they said that will give them the incentive not to work.
Oh, I see.
And Secretary Mnuchin, President Trump's Secretary of the Treasury, stood firm with us in opposing that amendment.
Good.
That was part of our deal, that $600 applies no matter what your unemployment compensation is. And, you know, our feeling is that this was a sort of mean-spirited amendment, that people want to go to work, that almost all people will not make more in unemployment compensation, but the administrative difficulty would have slowed down
totally.
The entire program.
Totally. It's got to be fast. Yeah. It's got to be clear. That's the more
exactly.
important thing. It has
clear,
to be clear.
Simple, fast.
Absolutely. Senator Blumenthal, I want to, as long as I have you on, you're such an influential, important person, I must tell you that I have been advocating on the radio. I want to know where our health insurance companies are in all of this, as utility companies and banks and the federal and state governments and private enterprise largely ponies up as part of the solution. I'm very upset. I know our superintendent of insurance here in Connecticut is trying to order, so to speak, some kind of an abeyance. But our health insurance companies need to be doing two things, and I want to be advocating for this. Number one, they need to be waiving premiums right now until we're out of the emergency, just waiving them for the vast majority of people. And number two, they need to cover all insurance, period, end. They have been profit centers. I'm not demonizing them, but I am saying that they have made a lot of money over the last few years. They have a lot of money, and now is not the time to be taking advantage of people. Along with unemployment, for most people in this country, goes a loss of health insurance. COBRA is a fortune. Just extending Access Health in Connecticut, I'm telling you, it's a horror show. I've been trying to get my self-employed son on this all week, and every single day, you can't do it online. They tell you must call. You can't do it online. And when you call, it's 37 minutes, it's 54 minutes, the call drops, you never speak to an individual. Health insurance companies need to tell people that had health insurance at the beginning of March, you still have it, you don't have to pay a premium until we're out of this emergency, and by the way, you're still covered. End of story. End of story.
I have a single word in response. Amen.
Right?
You're absolutely right. And in fact, part of what I've been fighting to do is to stop insurance companies from charging for any of the tests that are necessary, any copay, any deductible, stop them from charging in connection with any test, And, you know, we're going to have a vaccine, hopefully sooner rather than later. We will have a form of treatment.
We will.
And it will be vital to saving lives, and they should not be charging anyone for the test, the vaccine, anything having to do with this coronavirus. And frankly, you know, I've been very critical of the health insurance companies because many people are underinsured. You mentioned COBRA. We tried to use this bill to reform more about health insurance, and we just ran into a brick wall with our Republican friends. And, you know, that's for the next package. And, you know, I should emphasize to you, there will be another package because we're going to need to do more to put money in the hands of workers. They're going to still be struggling at the end of a month or 3 months. And this economic crisis is going to go for a while because we won't be able to heal the economy until we turn the tide against the coronavirus.
That's right. I don't know if you heard today, we're chatting with Senator Richard Blumenthal, but Italy has shut down all manufacturing in the country. CBS News just reported it this morning, which is astonishing. And that's something that understandably President Trump wants to avoid. But that's how bad it got there. They're shutting down all their factories. How do you emerge from that? You can't do it overnight.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to take a while. It'll be painful, but we'll get through it. We're resilient and resolute as a nation. We've been through worse, and I hope the president invokes the Defense Production Act so we can use some of the private enterprise that's offering to make ventilators and testing equipment and private personal protective equipment. So I really appreciate you having me on. I'm going to have to run to take a conference call, but I love being with you, and keep up the great work.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Richard Blumenthal on the Lisa Wexler Show today. We'll be right back.